See, I think I got that turned on, did I? That's good. Turned it on a little too early once or twice. Kept thinking, well, I'm almost ready to get up. Why don't you stand? You've been seated for a while. At least I'll be sure you're awake at the beginning of the message. And turn your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. And I usually preach just about 30 minutes to let you know. So let's see. All of a sudden, I can't find Hebrews. There it is. I think it's still in this Bible. It's a good old King James. It better be. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it," in other words, by faith, the elders made a good report. "Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God," and so on. Verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him," that's to please God, "for he," that's one of us, "that cometh to God must believe that he is," that God is, "and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God," built the ark. Verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. These all died in faith," verse 13, "not having received the promise." Skip over maybe to verse 23. "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." And let's stop there, and let's have a word of prayer. Father, pray that you would bless the time we have together tonight. These folks came out on a different night. They worked hard today. They drove many miles to be here in many cases. They have their burdens and issues. Father, I pray that you'd bless them for coming tonight. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. Guide my mind. Help me, I pray, as I preach, and guide my mind, my lips, and then Holy Spirit, apply the words, and pray that between the singing and the preaching, people be glad and feel it was worth their while to be here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I was getting a hum over here. Have we got that cared for? Turn off the green mic. Okay, who had the green mic? Huh? Okay, that's okay. It was Christina, but she's blonde. What do you want? So anyhow, That one from Pigeon Forge that talks so nice. But anyhow, living by faith. I want to preach to you tonight. I want to try and help you as individuals. I want to try and help the church somewhat and try and give you a Bible message, a Bible lesson, Bible study maybe. I don't know. Although we'll not necessarily take that form, preach to you along the line of living by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? We hear a lot about it. We talk about it a lot. And we say, well, you know, we're living by faith. Most of us like the Lester Roloff song, yeah. Living by Faith. And yeah. I don't think he wrote it, but we associate it with him. And I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if sorrow or sunshine or rain. My Lord, I know, ruleth o'er everything, and all my worry is vain. I'm living by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? I think a lot of us have a mixed up idea of really what it means to live by faith. Should I turn off the other two too? Let me get the other two also. Otherwise, I can just switch to this one if that'll be easier. Should I? Okay. We'll just switch to the other. Okay, I'll try and stay behind the pulpit, and I'll just use this one then. Is that better? Okay, make it easy for you to listen. My preaching isn't that great anyhow, and if you got the hum in it, I mean, nobody's going to be glad you came. But anyhow, what does it mean to live by faith? Obviously, the phrase "living, the just shall live by faith" appears 3-4 times in the Bible. I think some initially the idea is that we live eternally by faith, and that all of us, the only way anybody's going to live eternally is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the shed blood on Calvary, and we got saved, and the just or the justified ones, that's us, we put our faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for us, and because of that, by that faith, we shall live eternally. I have eternal life. I received it by faith. It's not faith plus baptism or faith plus good works or faith plus this or plus that. You don't have to hold out faithful to the end. I mean, God, the moment I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I got saved and I know I'm going to heaven. To me, one of the most exciting things about soul winning and bus work and everything else like that is the doctrine of the teaching of eternal security. Look, I didn't get saved by being good. I'm not going to lose it by being bad. I got saved by grace through faith. And that's the only way anybody's ever going to go to heaven is by grace through faith. And certainly it's true that the just shall live by faith to some extent teaches that or does teach. One of the applications is we get saved by grace through faith. And the just shall live by faith. But then on the other hand, is you look even, for instance, in Hebrews 10:38, it says, now the just shall live by faith. And I think that's talking there to those of us who are already saved, those of us who are justified, we've been saved, we're on our way to heaven, we know we're going to get there, but we're supposed to live by faith. And what does that mean when it talks about living by faith? Sometimes people seem to have the idea that living by faith means that I don't have any steady income. And, every once in a while through the years, I've been college work about 40 years now, and maybe a little longer, 41 years, I guess, in college work, Christian education, 42. And, sometimes I've had college students, usually a guy, come to me and say, Brother Jorgensen, or I'll find him after he's not paying his bill and say, what's going on? And he'll say, well, Brother Jorgensen, I decided to live by faith. And I say, well, that's a good idea. What do you mean? He said, well, I quit my job, and I'm not working anymore, and I'm just praying that God will send in the money. I want to live by faith. And I say, that's not living by faith. That's being stupid. And, I found in my life, most time when I've prayed for money, God sends me work. And, I have a steady income, and I learned, and my wife is better at it than I am. I mean, we live on what we make. And you've been in the ministry now 43 years, and I feel like, I'll go someplace, I'll say, you tell me what you're going to pay me, I'm going to find a way to live on it. And, but, and then we live on our income. But from time to time, things come up, and I'll pray for finances or pray for additional income. Used to do it more than I do it now. And almost always when I prayed for money, God sent me work. And that's just how it worked. Occasionally, and especially when I didn't have an opportunity to work, I was in between different places of service or whatever, and occasionally God's just sent me money, and that's nice too. But again, especially the notable time in my life when that happened was when I was in between two places of service, and I had about a month off, and I needed about a month's income to get me from one spot to the other, and I prayed, and God gave us just checks, mail, gifts like that. About 1 month's income. Amen. Then I started getting a salary again. It pretty well stopped. And, that's how it's been for me. And anyhow, but certainly living by faith, does not mean that I don't have any steady income. It doesn't mean that I'm going to quit my job or say I'm not going to take a salary anymore. That's not living by faith. Generally, that's stupidity. So what does it mean to live by faith? I think number one, and a part of it would be that I do trust God for the circumstances of life. You think of that little chorus that we sing, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. My Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Yeah. Look, by faith, I believe there's a God.
Yes.
And God knows me. And he knows what's happening in my life. And nothing can come into my life that doesn't come through the hand of God. As you look through this, as you think about Hebrews 11, by faith, Moses went out not knowing where he was going. I mean, he didn't. That's what we just read. He said, I wonder what's going to happen to me out there. I wonder if somebody's going to attack me. I wonder if I'll die. I don't know. Now, he took some cattle and a lot of money. He was wealthy. Took some of that with him, I expect. And I don't think some of the record in that part of Genesis maybe isn't real clear. But I suppose he took the food with him and so on, what he had. Certainly doesn't say he didn't. But on the other hand, he didn't know exactly what he was getting into. And but he said, I think this is obviously what God wants me to do, and so I'm going to do it. And whatever happens tomorrow, but God's going to take care of me just like he did today. God's going to take care of me tomorrow. Whatever he brings into my life is his will, and it'll be fine.
Yes.
I believe by faith I can trust God for the circumstances that he brings into my life. And if you look even here back in Hebrews 11, I like verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out, into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out. He was called to go out, beginning of the verse, and he went out. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? God says, go, and he went.
Yep.
Be nice if all of us obeyed everything God tells us to do that well, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And, he just, again, doesn't say anything about him leaving all his money and not taking anything to eat and just pray, but by faith, he said, God's going to control the circumstances. It'll be okay. If I do what God says, I'll be glad I did. I've used that definition of faith once in a while. Faith is believing that if I do what God tells me to do, I'll be glad I did in the end. It'll work out okay.
Amen.
And part of living by faith, I think, means that we trust God for the circumstances in life. Secondly, I think living by faith would mean that I'm going to, by faith, I believe in God. I believe heaven's real.
Yeah.
All of us say that, and a lot of you said amen just now, but most of us, when push comes to shove, sometimes we don't really believe it. But heaven, by faith, I've never seen heaven. I'm not like Paul. I was never caught up into the third heaven, in the body or out of the body, I know not, and so on like that. I mean, that never happened to me. I've never seen a light when I was driving down the road or whatever. The girls are glad about that.
Amen.
Didn't wreck the van.
Amen.
Those kinds of things have never happened to me. But I believe heaven's real,
yeah,
by faith. Now, if I really believe that heaven is by faith, and that's going to affect how I live. That's going to make a difference. You know, part of the reason I don't care what happens to me tomorrow is I know whatever happens to me, I'm going to heaven. My goal in life is for God to use me. And if he wants to use me in a different set of circumstances, or he wants to take me to heaven instead of leaving me here, that's up to him. I know eventually I'm going to heaven. I'm, you know, 63 years old. I know I don't look like I could possibly be that old. My wife's still just 29, and she stays 29. We married, yeah, but anyhow. But, you know, I know, well, I've got friends of mine dying already. You know, obviously at 63. I can look in the alumni notes from the secular university. I went right with God when I finished high school, went to the secular university, graduated there. Alumni, you know, they'll have class memorials to the people in my class that have died. And folks younger than me, and folks older than me. I mean, I know I'm not going to be around here a whole lot longer. I'm over halfway home at 63. At least I sure hope so. And, you know, But if heaven is real, that's going to change a lot of, I mean, that just changes everything in life. This life is not all there is. If I'm going to live by faith, I've got to believe that heaven is real. And some morning you'll find, I love singing about heaven. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is a light. You'll find me there on the street so pretty, made of gold, so pure and so bright, with Jesus, the one who gave me the victory and brought me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city. Second verse in there, I don't think I can quote the whole thing, but I like the part in there where it says, Mom and Dad will be singing. I'm looking forward to standing next to my mom and dad again. They'll both be in heaven. Heaven's praise will be ringing for the dearest friend I ever had. It's one of the best lines in a song I know. At least to me it is. I like that one. Heaven is real. By faith, I ought to believe that heaven is real. And if I mean, if we really believe that heaven was real and hell is real, it'd change our life. A lot of things we worry about today, we wouldn't worry about. And again, and if you believe God controls the circumstances of our life, and he's in which he does, and he's in charge of things. I mean, even Job, nothing could happen to him that God didn't allow. And God didn't allow him to be tested. 1 Corinthians 10:31, 10, you know, God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able with the temptation. You know, God's in control of the testings, the temptations, the trials of our life. So if I believe that by faith, then I ought to live that way. I'll not worry about things. Again, living by faith has nothing to do with being stupid about your finances.
Right.
I always figured that I could pray that God would give me the money before I spent it on a new TV, as well as I could pray that God would give me the money after I spent it and had the credit card bill come and due.
Amen.
Or a new car or whatever. I don't know if you preach against TVs here or not. I have one, but...
I don't care about the TV, but I like football.
Okay. Well, we play some football in Kentucky, but not much, but we do play basketball down there. Top recruiting class in the country again. But anyhow, I shouldn't talk about that very much in Ohio, should I? But living by faith means, you know, at some point, living by faith means, and I enjoy sports very much also. I enjoy college football some, pro football quite a bit. Hope they have a season this year.
Yeah.
I've learned to enjoy, we've been in Kentucky 8 years now in Lexington. I've learned to enjoy very much Kentucky Wildcat basketball.
Yeah.
And enjoy, I go to several of the games and enjoy going with my wife, my son, my grandson. Took my granddaughter one day and she said, oh, Grandpa, this is so exciting. I enjoy doing some of those things. But at some point, you realize if I'm living by faith, it's a game. It's a game. And, you know, I get into it. You know, I'll try and correct the refs from my seat up in the upper deck. I know I saw it better than they did.
Amen. Me too.
I mean, you almost get nosebleed up there sitting where I sit, but you know, you can. Or from my living room. You know. Oh, yeah. But anyhow. But at some point you realize it's a game. I had a good Christian friend I was talking about watching, you know, was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And I said something about watching games. He said, you know, I quit watching them on Sunday afternoon because if they didn't win, I was so upset that when I got church Sunday night, I wasn't ready to get a blessing. And he said, this isn't worth it. It's a game. By faith? I mean, I don't know, that wasn't necessarily part of the sermon, but by faith, I ought to believe, if I believe heaven's real. And then thirdly, by living by faith, I think to a Christian means that I make my decisions in life by faith. I mean, what's real and what's going to matter in life? You look back at Hebrews 11:23 again. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Why'd they do that? Government said, kill him. Society said, kill him. Society tell you to kill babies before they're born here.
Yeah, right.
But Moses' parents said, that's not right. They, you know, their friends may have told him, if they were aware of it, would have said, hey, look, this isn't reasonable. The government's going to find out. They're going to find him. They'll kill the baby anyhow. They'll kill you also. You may as well keep living. I mean, the baby's going to die either way. You may as well save your own lives. They said, it's not right.
Amen.
By faith, they did it. They saved him because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Amen. Talking about controlling the circumstances. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, he had it made financially. Prestige, position.
Yep.
He had everything. He had the best house in Egypt. You know, it'd be a huge, we'd call a big mansion here, a palace. He had the best of everything. And he said, no, I'm not going to keep that. I think I'll go out and wander around the desert with the people of God. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, esteeming, why did he do that? Esteeming because he thought about esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses said, look, serving God just pays better. Now, it doesn't in what you can see. He turned away from a lot of riches. But he turned away from a lot of riches. And I got a phone in here. Maybe that's a problem. He turned away from a lot of riches. And I'm going to lose my brochure about the tent meeting. Turned away from a lot of riches to enjoy, wander around the wilderness with the people of God. But he said, look, it pays better. Moses made his decisions in life based on faith. He said, by faith, because he said, you know, whatever I have down here, living for Pharaoh and trying to please him and make the world happy and all that, it's nothing. I'm going to lose it all someday. You know the story of the rich man that died? Somebody said, I wonder how much he left. Other person said, I guess he left it all.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you're leaving millions or if you're leaving one change of clothing. You're leaving it all.
Yeah.
But Moses said, look, the rewards that I, the eternal riches are better. So he said, well, Moses, you can't see those. Moses said, yeah, I know, but by faith, they're there. And I'd rather have eternal riches that moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves can't break through and steal and that are going to last forever than something down here. Now, there's nothing wrong with having money down here, but it's not the goal. It's not the object of life. By faith, you know, I think living by faith means that I, you know, primarily to those of us as Christians, when it comes into our daily life, means that I need to make my decisions by faith. Okay, it's Saturday morning. I got a bus route. Ohio State, I'm living in Ravenna now. Ohio State's playing at 10:30. But I'm supposed to visit my bus route. What do I do? Well, I got a choice. I can live for pleasure, or I can live to be productive. If I'm going to live for pleasure, I sit home, watch a game. Have a good time. Nothing sinful about it, except that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Amen.
And am I going to live for pleasure, or am I going to live to be productive? Am I going to say, this is a game. Maybe we'll TiVo it or whatever, or, you know, watch the replay at 3 in the morning. But it's a game. I got a bus route. I got a responsibility that makes a difference. I want to get out there. I'm going to pray God to lead me to somebody to get on that bus tomorrow. They're going to come to church and get saved. I'm going to pray God will lead me to somebody that will want to get saved while I'm out here Saturday. I'm going to pray that God will use me today. Am I going to live my life and put in my time to be productive, or am I going to live it for pleasure? That's kind of what Moses did. I mean, you know, am I going to live for the pleasure of sin? Because sin does give some pleasure. It's short. It doesn't last. The prosperity of the wicked is short, Job said. But it does give some pleasure. Make you feel good for a little while. But on the other hand, so am I going to live for that pleasure? Or by faith, am I going to say, I don't want that pleasure now because I know where it's going to leave me. And by faith, I want eternal riches. I want to serve God.
Amen.
And whether you're talking about turning down sin in our lives, the devil keeps tempting all of us. The world of flesh and devil after every one of us here tonight. So am I going to keep turning that away and keep trying to live a clean, pure, holy life to let God use me? So am I going to live for pleasure or to be productive when it comes to temptations in my life? Am I going to live for pleasure or to be productive when it comes to how I use my time? You know, I kind of want to do this, but you know, I ought to study my Sunday school lesson. It'll be good enough. I'll just go to bed early. I've taught that class for 15 years. I don't really have to prepare anymore. Now, some of you commenting, but I expect everybody's that's taught a class for 15 years is maybe you haven't said it out loud, but you kind of haven't gone in totally prepared once in 15 years or more than once. And I mean, I've taught classes, and I know there's times I've walked out saying, "I don't know that they got their money's worth today." And, you know, been teaching classes for 40 years, I guess. But how am I going to use my time? How am I going to use my money? Where am I going to? And again, I'm not talking about saying, okay, well, I'm going to put my rent money in the offering plate and then pray by faith that God will give me money for rent. But I'm talking about when it comes to what I'm going to invest in. You know, you take $1,000 and buy 20 shares of or 50 shares or whatever of some stock, and it might go up or it might go down. If it goes up, you'll be happy. If it goes down, you'll say maybe tomorrow. And but on the other hand, if you take that money and put it in the ministry, you know that's worthwhile. Something's going to come out of that. There's going to be eternal. And I'm not saying you need to have saved. I'm not saying you give away. I already said you don't do that. I'm not saying you give away your life saving. But most of us have some money that we have choice about what to do with after our bills are paid, or a lot of us do. You pay the base, or you decide what bills to incur, to charge up, rack up. How much am I going to pay for rent? Where am I going to pay this? Do I want to buy that new car on payments or not? And so on. I mean, you've got decisions that you make about your money. And by faith, I think money given to God's work is a good investment.
Yeah.
They say, well, how do you know that? Well, I want my money to be productive, just like I want my time to be productive.
Yes.
I don't want to use my money for my pleasure only. And we do fun things, and we'll go out and spend too much money on a dinner every once in a while. My wife and I, we've been at this a long time, and we can afford to do things now we couldn't have dreamt of doing when we were 25. I'm not saying I don't think any of that's wrong, but on the other hand, I want my money too. I want to give more to God's house than I put in my house.
Yes.
I want to be a blessing to the ministry. And by faith, when it comes to my time, my money, what rewards I'm going to get, I ought to follow God and not society. Society says, have fun, live for today. Tomorrow may never come. Live it up. Who knows? You may die tomorrow. Have fun today, and you'll see bumper stickers like that. He who dies with the most toys wins, all that kind of thing. But it isn't true. Some morning we'll be walking around heaven.
Yes.
Assuming you're saved, and I expect about everybody, if not everybody here tonight on a Thursday night in the middle of the week, is saved. Some morning we'll all be walking around heaven. The riches we have over there are what's going to matter. What we've done for Christ, being able to walk up and say, somebody say, hey, I remember you. You don't remember me, probably. I was just one of many that came to Sunday school on a bus that day. But you sat down out in the grass in front of the building with me and took a Bible and told me how I could know Jesus was my Savior. And I trusted him as a 9-year-old boy.
Amen.
And now I'm going to, and I'm in heaven here.
Yes.
Because you took time for me that day. I'm looking for the fellow that picked me up on the bus. And, I want to live to be productive by faith, not live for pleasure for today. I want to use my time, my finances, my health, whatever I have, by faith to get something done for God and accomplish something for him and lay up riches in heaven rather than riches here on the earth. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if God's spoken to your heart today, maybe along the line that you say, God, Brother Jorgensen, God's spoken to me about something where I ought to be living by faith more. I ought to be surrendered to him. I ought to be prioritizing my time differently, my finances differently. Sometimes maybe I've slacked off on a bus route or a Sunday school class or something when I shouldn't have. God spoke to my heart tonight. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to see it. I'd be a help to you. Anybody else? Men, women, old, young. Are you living by faith? Are you valuing the things that are eternal instead of the things that are temporal? Wonder if there's anybody here tonight, and you can put your hands down, that would say, Brother Jorgensen, I'm not sure I am going to heaven. You said most everybody here probably is, but I'd like to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I will. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I'd like to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I will. Father, I pray for these that raised their hand earlier, saying that you'd spoken to them about a decision to live more by faith, valuing eternal things instead of temporal things. Help us, God, all to do that in our lives. Why don't we stand with heads bowed and eyes closed? As the piano is playing, if you'd come on down here, if you raised your hand for prayer, I'd suggest you come down, kneel at an altar, make a decision down here. young people, you're going to say, well, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be a doctor, a lawyer, make a lot of money. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. If it's God's will, that's fine, but by faith, it won't matter as much as what you have in heaven. Senior saint, are you doing what you can with the health you have and the time you have? Serve Him. There's something that God wants each of us to do. We ought to all be productive in the ministry. Somebody said, if you're still breathing, there's something that God wants you to do. Skyver.
Brother Mark's going to lead us in a verse. You go ahead and sing, Brother Mark, and as he does, you need to come. You come right now. Don't be shy. Just come. You just come. Let God have His own way.